Our next case for argument is 25-1446, Satius Holding v. Samsung Electronics. Mr. Lerman, please proceed when you're ready.
Good morning. May it please the court, Dan Lerman for Satius.
Mr. Lerman, just as a matter of housekeeping, Mr. Price said that in the previous case, claim one was only claim one, and in this case, there were more claims. But I see in the court's opinion that it talks about claims 18 and 11 and 18 being dependent on one, and so the court's evaluation of term one here will impact all three asserted claims. So are there really other claims on the merits here at issue?
Yes, Your Honor. So your recitation is correct. The district court in our case found that claim one was indefinite. The others depend from it and are indefinite too, but there are three claims at issue. In the proceeding we just heard about, the only claim that was found obvious was one. Claims 11 and 18 were upheld against an obviousness challenge. So they're still valid. So if this court were to affirm in the other case, which we obviously hope it doesn't, this court would still need to determine whether 11 and 18 are invalid as indefinite in the district court case. So it still needs to address the indefiniteness issue in the district court proceeding, even if it agrees with the board in the other proceeding.
And that's the impossibility?
That's the impossibility. And that is our core argument, is that the district court erred in conflating impossibility with indefiniteness. A claim is indefinite under Section 112 only if it fails to inform a person of skill in the art with reasonable certainty about the scope of the invention. So it needs to tell the public what is infringing and what is still open to them. And here, Samsung effectively conceded that Term 1 is clear on that ground. It argued that Term 1, quote, unmistakably claims a monopoly over transmitting electric signals over air. That is essentially the definition of definiteness. Yes. It was able to...
Do you agree that electric signals can't be transmitted over air?
For purposes of the appeal, we are not challenging that. We had an argument below that under our reading, there is a way in which that could happen and that every signal has an electrical component and a magnetic component. That is not at issue here. Our argument here is that...
So for purposes of this appeal, we can accept as true,
correct,
as admitted, that electric signals cannot be transmitted over air as distinct from electromagnetic signals.
I don't think you could, just one quibble, I don't think it's as admitted. It is not challenged for purposes of the appeal. You can consider it to be true.
It was found below and you didn't challenge it on appeal. Correct?
Fair enough. So this court can consider that to be true, that you cannot transmit an electric signal over air. But that's our point, is that if you look at the prior proceeding we just heard about, Samsung was able to compare term one as a whole, electric or...
How are these claims enabled then? If you have claimed two specific and discrete embodiments in your claim, this isn't a genus claim where there might be some random species that aren't enabled. This is, you concretely and discreetly claim two specific things, one of which, for purposes of this appeal, I accept as true is impossible. How have you enabled that thing?
Two answers, Your Honor, because I think there's a distinction between the single aspect, the electric component, and then the fact that it's in the alternative. But either way...
Well, but I don't understand. Don't either way me. That doesn't make sense.
Okay.
You've claimed two things. You have to enable... Do you understand that under a law you have to enable the full scope of your claim?
Well, yes, Your Honor. If I could just...
I just answer yes or no. Do you understand under our law...
Yes.
You have to enable, okay. And you've claimed two specific things in the alternative.
Correct.
So you have to enable both of them.
The court below, Your Honor, found that they forfeited an enablement argument.
That I don't care. I'm asking you questions.
Okay. If
you have to enable both of them.
So
if one of them is impossible and you've admitted it's impossible to perform, how have you informed the public how to make and use it?
Because this court's enablement case is, like you said, Your Honor, there's a difference between when you have a claim that covers a bunch of enablements and when you have a claim written in the alternative. This court's cases are clear that when you have alternative limitations, if you want to challenge it on enablement grounds, you need to show that both limitations are not enabled. Here we have it written in the disjunctive.
What case? What case do you have?
The CFMT case, Your Honor, said that a party asserting that a claim has, quote, impossible limitations must, quote, show that all the disclosed alternatives are inoperative. And that is our point here, is that they did not show that both alternatives, and it's clear that this is in the disjunctive, and the only court, the only decision the court below relied on was this court's decision in Cochlear. That's the only case they relied on for the proposition that if the claim has one component that is definite and one that is indefinite, it should be invalid for definiteness. But that case is distinguishable and doesn't say anything about impossibility or definiteness. So our core argument is that the court below conflated indefiniteness with impossibility. I understand your Honor's point, which is that this court has repeatedly said, and that's what it said in Miles Labs. This court said in Miles Labs, impossibility has nothing to do with definiteness. It may go to enablement. So your Honor's right, and that puts us now in the enablement camp, except it was waived. It was declined to be addressed below. That is not typically something that is addressed at the claim construction stage. All the enablement cases here.
But here, it's not something typically addressed at the claim construction case. But here, all of the facts are admitted, and the facts can lead me to no conclusion but that this claim is not enabled, respectfully, under our law. The law you just quoted to me, as my clerk pointed out, is pre-Amgen. Amgen made it crystal clear that the full scope of the claim has to be enabled. I don't see how these claims survive enablement, and enablement's a question of law. It has been teed up and briefed by both parties on appeal. I don't know why I don't just rule this claim is not enabled. It put an end to this case, and by the way, it moots the one I just heard a minute ago, too.
Two answers, Your Honor. It's not teed up. I don't think they're asking this court to even affirm. Even in their briefs on appeal, they're not asking the court to affirm on enabling grounds. They waived it below, and they waived it on appeal. And I think it would be improper then for this court to reach an issue that was not briefed or addressed. But on Your Honor's point about Amgen, Amgen did not change the law. What Amgen said is that if you claim an entire class, an entire genus that covers millions and millions of things, you need to enable that in a way that doesn't require undue experimenting and trial and error. This is not a case where we're claiming a genus. We are claiming one or the other. And so
you claimed both.
Sir. No.
When you claim or, your claim is broad enough to cover two things, not one. You've claimed two things, not one thing.
You're correct that if they were to make a device that infringes
or,
the one thing.
Either or. If they make a device that infringes either of those two things, you've claimed two things.
That is true. Now, they can't make a device under their own theory that infringes one.
Well, because it's impossible.
Right.
Which is why you haven't enabled it.
But the enablement issue doesn't make term one invalid for lack of enablement because term one can be practiced. They need to show that both
cannot be practiced. We don't rewrite your claims. I don't see where they have to show both can't be practiced.
That's what CFMT says. That's what Atlas says. That's what Aspect says. They also.
Ultimately, isn't this a claim construction matter? And if we construe your claim as requiring your apparatus to be able to transmit both an electric signal or an electromagnetic signal, then it's not enabled.
If this court construes it that way, I think we still have an argument, but this court shouldn't construe it that way. So this court has made clear that or is disjunctive, and in custom signals, it says that does not require a device to do one, to do both of them, to be capable of doing both. It does one or the other. This case was...
Yeah, but one or the other doesn't mean one. It means one device can do it, or you have invented a device that can do either of them. You don't save your device by saying, well, even if one of them's not enabled because it's impossible, we're still get the other. You didn't invent something that just sends electromagnetic signals. You invented something that sent electric signals too.
Well, we said or, and this court's cases say it's not a single device that does both. What the district court said when it recited their argument on 11 is that because it's an alternative, what they are saying is that it requires a device that either is a device that transmits electric or a device that translates electromagnetic. I think your honors.
Device that transmits electric is impossible.
Yes, under the construction, which we challenge. But the device that transmits electromagnetic is possible. That or has meaning. That is what the court below said. The court below assumed that it's a device that does one or the other. And then it acknowledged that was a wrinkle that distinguished this case from all the other cases cited, including Synchronos. And the only decision it relied on for that proposition is Cochlear.
I'm still not following because a device that does one or the other is impossible because one of the others is not possible. You want us to rewrite your claims for you and strike out the impossible part.
No, we want the court to apply the claims and written, which is an or. I respectfully submit that that reading requires it to say and. It doesn't say a device capable of transmitting electric and electric magnetic. It says a device that does one or the other thing. And this court's cases are clear that when you have alternatives in the or, that means that you need to show that both. I mean, that means that it's not claiming a single device that does both. It's claiming one type of transmission or the other type of transmission.
It's claiming two devices?
No, sorry. It's claiming different types of transmission. It is claiming either a device that transmits electric magnetic signals or a device that transmits electric signals over air.
So I want to get you back to your comment before that claims 11 and 18, the judge's decision, are being challenged. I don't see in your brief that you argue the separate patentability of claims 11 and 18. So if that's true, they're not really at issue on appeal here. And if we affirm the earlier case, then the impossibility issue doesn't have to be dealt with.
I disagree, Your Honor. We challenged the decision below.
You talk about claims 11 and 18.
In our facts, we make clear that the district court invalidated claim 1 on indefiniteness, and then because claims 11 and 18 said that that was indefinite for the same reasons, the party stipulated below that because claim 1 was knocked out, 11 and 18, we are asking for reversal of the impossibility of the indefiniteness decision below. That applies to all three claims. There was no separate discussion below or on appeal about 11 and 18 because the only aspect
doesn't have to be dealt with if claims 11 and 18 aren't separately argued. And in the earlier case, if we uphold the obviousness determination, that also applies here.
The obviousness determination will apply to claim one's validity under obviousness here, but that doesn't address the indefiniteness, and the indefiniteness of 1118 is the same as the indefiniteness for claim one. I don't think this court could...
If the claim is invalid as obvious, we don't have to deal with indefiniteness.
You do, Your Honor.
But why? Dead is dead.
Well, because claims 11 and 18 add additional limitations.
You're not arguing the details of claims 11 and 18.
Because obviousness is not an issue in our case, Your Honor, but the impossibility is the same for all of them. So for purposes of Your Honor's hypothetical, 11 and 18 are now deemed indefinite by virtue of impossibility. They are not indefinite. They are not invalid for purposes of obviousness. So the court then needs to address whether claims 11 and 18, like claim 1 from which they depend, is indefinite on the grounds that it's impossible. I see that I'm into my rebuttal, so I will reserve that time, please.
Very good. Mr. Rainey?
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. Richard Rainey on behalf of Samsung. First, to the question about enablement, we specifically did ask this court on page 73 of our brief, given the admissions, and frankly, Judge Moore...
You sort of hinted at best. You didn't, where's the ask? I see a hint. I mean...
We say right here, far from abiding its case, Satius argument failed to apply Amgen and confirm invalidity right before the conclusion on page 73.
Yeah.
There's no enablement dispute left in light of the Supreme Court's ruling in Amgen and the admissions that we have on appeal. We agree with that analysis. On the or question, this court's made it clear that the applicant has a choice. The patentee has a choice. You can use or and claim things in the alternative. The price for that is this court's Brown decision made clear is if any one of the alternatives is unpatentable, the claim goes down.
And this is distinct. I just want to make sure that we don't mess the law up. This is distinct from sort of a genus kind of claim, right? Because in a genus claim, we all know that to enable the full scope of the claim doesn't mean every single species has to be operable.
Correct.
I just want to make sure we draw a clear, bright line distinction between something like that and something like this, where a patentee has laid out just two discrete alternatives in a somewhat tangible world, to the extent you can say electrical signals are tangible. So two discrete alternatives.
Yes, and where the impossibility, the lack of enablement, is actually written into the claim. It is, and this court has distinguished cases where the impossibility is actually claimed, which is exactly the situation we have here. So I completely agree with that. And to the...
But again, do you think that that has something – I mean, I know you've defended the district court on indefiniteness, but I mean, I'm trying to why is inoperability for sure lead to indefiniteness? There, 112 is a lot of things, right? Like, I think this claim fails under written description because the inventor clearly didn't possess electric signals through the air. I think this claim fails under enablement because he didn't teach electric signals in the air. I'm not sure it fails under indefiniteness.
So, respectfully, Your Honor, we think it does clearly fail under indefiniteness for the following reasons. We have a claim that is undisputedly a scientific impossibility that, as our expert testified, is nonsensical. This Court has addressed a number of nonsensical, impossible claim limitations under the indefiniteness paragraph 2 provision of 112.
But don't most of those cases talk about conflicts between the claims and the specification, and that's what makes it impossible? So you can't determine the bounds of the claim because there's a contradiction between the specification and the claims. Here we know the bounds of the claims. It's sending electric signals through the air. The claims and the specification are consistent. They've told the public what their claims are. They're just scientifically impossible. That doesn't sound like indefiniteness to me. It sounds like enablement.
Well, except that our expert explained why that language was, you know, gobbledygook to him. Expert testimony that's not challenged on appeal.
Yeah, but gobbledygook. Sorry.
No, I mean gobbledygook because it's impossible under scientific principles, which is enablement, not gobbledygook because he doesn't understand what they're claiming.
But if you look at the, if you look at cases that, this Court has addressed, like Synchronos, where you have, or the Columbia case, it's similar to suggesting, for example, we're trying to get orange juice out of an apple. That was the language the Court used in Columbia. It said that is, that's nonsensical, just like this claim is nonsensical, for, particularly to a person of ordinary skill in the art here. And that testimony is unrebutted here.
The claim also lacked utility under 101.
Yes. And we pointed that out below, that there are alternative reasons why this claim fails.
It doesn't work.
Doesn't work. That's correct. It's fully impossible. And just to the point about operability and the irrelevance of it or relevance of it to indefiniteness case law, Satius relies on the Miles case from 1993. That's a pre-Nautilus case. That case doesn't say that impossibility is irrelevant to indefiniteness. It simply says that operability may have no bearing on the scope of a claim, and that is absolutely true. It's not a remarkable statement. But here, we have sort of an extreme situation where the impossibility is written into the claim, and you have expert testimony walking through that in detail that the district court relied on for the clear and convincing evidence below, and that testimony establishes that it is nonsensical to him. It has no meaning. Yet, yes, we can see it says transmitting electric signals over air, but what does that mean?
I'm really troubled because I think that you have misled the district court. I'm not saying you did it intentionally. Maybe you found this language in our case law compelling, but there's a difference between indefiniteness and enablement. And the cases you cite, the reason they're indefinite are because there's inconsistencies between the claims and the specifications. I mean, Synchronos, they used a single file and the specification used a library or something like that. Those are inconsistencies in the claim language and the specification that make it indefinite. But when something is clear but yet impossible, it's enablement. If I claim the transporter from Star Trek, everybody knows what I'm claiming. It's impossible. But it's impossible because it's not enabled, not because it's indefinite. And I think you're blurring the two doctrines, and I don't see the point in blurring these two doctrines.
Respectfully, we were following this court's case law that says where you have...
I think you're over-reading this court's case law when we use the word impossibility when we're referring to inconsistent specification and claim language. That seems what those cases talk about to me.
Well, we also have expert testimony here saying this limitation is nonsensical, meaning to him it was meaningless.
Who cares? He has expert testimony saying it's nonsensical because it's scientifically impossible. He doesn't get to determine which legal bucket to put that in. The district court judge and we get to determine which legal button to put that factual evidence in.
That is certainly true, Your Honor. We just think it fits in several different buckets here. Regardless of what legal theory you apply here, the claim is not valid. And
Mr. Rennie, yes. Is the obviousness of claims 11 and 18 before us?
It is not.
And but therefore, the only issue with respect to the obviousness of claim 1 is the same as in the earlier case?
Obviousness is not an issue in this particular appeal. It's 112 that's an issue.
Then if we affirm the earlier case, we needn't deal with impossibility here?
I believe you do, Your Honor.
Why? If the claim's invalid, as obvious, it's invalid.
We have to deal with the dependent claims as well, claims 11 and 18.
Well, that's what I was asking.
Yes.
Claims 11 and 18 relevant here?
They are.
Did he argue their separate patentability in his appeal brief?
The separateness of 11 and 18 was not argued here. The issue is impossibility of the limitation in claim 1 from which 11 and 18 depend.
You agree that claims 11 and 18 are before us, then we have to decide the impossibility question with regard to them, regardless of what happens in the other appeal, correct?
I do, yes.
Thank you.
The court has no further questions. I will step down.
Thank you, Mr. Rainey.
Just briefly, I obviously think that there is a difference between the impossible conflict between the claim and the specification cases and what this court has said about indefiniteness. I also agree on the expert testimony in Teva Pharmaceuticals v. Sandoz. This court made clear that the question of reasonable certainty is a question of law, and you can't convert that to a factual issue by having an expert opine on it. They picked a bucket here to argue the case. They argued it in the indefiniteness bucket, and the district court found that they forfeited any enablement argument and declined to address that, and also said it would be the wrong time to address that. There might be another time to address that in summary judgment. There might be a time to address other things, such as infringement and infringibility and utility. They didn't argue utility. They didn't argue enablement. They argued indefiniteness. And so that is the question before the court. They were able to compare this to the prior art in the other proceeding, the entire term, and they got a favorable ruling by comparing the entire term 1 to the prior art. So that precludes them from now arguing to this court in the separate case that this is indefinite and that they were not able to compare this to the prior art, and that's effectively what they were saying. So they compared it to the prior art. They conceded that the scope is unmistakable, and it's unmistakable because even though maybe they say you can't do it, we all know what it means, even more so than the replicator from Star Trek. There's no confusion over what this means. It is not indefinite under Section 112. That is the decision before this court, and we would therefore ask the court to reverse and remand for further proceedings.
Okay, thank you, counsel.